Fern sehr viele Gottes Gedanken zur Öffentlichkeit vor. Diese Fern sehr viele Gottes in der Mauer ab. We have more celebrations today, and the disappearance day of. Purushottam Das Thakur. He was one of the goddess of Gopala, one of the 12 Kalpa boys, friends of Nityananda, the same Navadvipa's growing time. So perhaps you can chant the Pranam prayers of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sutra. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Ti Namane Srivashavana Videvi Daitaya Kripadhe Krishna Sambandha Vidyana Daine Bhavave Namaha Madhu Jola Premaja Srirupanuga Bhaktida Srigora Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namaste Namaste Gauravani Srimartaye Siddhanta Siddhanta Harine Harine. I offer my sacred obeisance unto divine grace. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his feet. I offer my sacred obeisance unto Vrajabhanavi Devi Daityadasa, who is favored by Srimati Radharani as the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you, the personified energy of Lord Chaitanya's energy, who delivered devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna, coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. I offer my respectful obeisance unto you, Adi, the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of the fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So this is the appearance of our grandfather, great-grandfather, who did so much to establish Krishna consciousness in the world. By His grace, today we're all gathered here. He wanted my father to develop. He actually was the person who stayed in my father when Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur rediscovered the true birthplace. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur stayed here and actually developed it. At least for 10 years he stayed here. And then he began his preaching movement and started moving all over the country. So he appeared in 1874. We all know he was the son of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And he was born in Jagannath Puri. He was born at the request of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So when he was in Puri, Lord Jagannath appeared to him in a dream and he said, I didn't bring you here simply to have legal matters, because he was a district magistrate in Jagannath Puri. So Jagannath said, that's not the reason I brought you here, so you can deal in legal affairs. I brought you here to establish a true Bhakti Siddhanta. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was responding, well, I'm I'm getting older now and I've got so many other responsibilities. I don't know if I can do this, but if you please, you empower one of your messengers to come here. He said, then maybe I can start your movement. So we all know that was Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you can send one of your personal staff. So we understand that was the ray of Vishnu he prayed for, the personal staff. Jagannath told him, you ask Yamala Devi. Yamala Devi is the form of Yogamaya in Puri. Whom they offer the Mahaprasad after offering to Jagannath, they will give to Vimala Devi. He said, you approach Vimala Devi. So she's Yogamaya Devi, she's controlling the whole pastime. So she arranged that the ray of Vishnu be drawn, or Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura was born. So he was born, and Bhaktivinoda Thakura named him Vimala Prasad. He was Prasad of Vimala, because she answered his prayers. So from the very beginning of his birth, everything was auspicious. He had one astrologer came to give his chart. He said he has all the 32 symptoms, 32 lakshanas of a Mahapurusha. I've never examined a person with so many qualities before us. He's all indications of this. He'll be a great leader in the future, a preacher of the absolute truth. So that all came to pass. When he was born also, he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his chest, and even after it was removed, that was impressed for many a long time to come. It still had that line was hanging around it. And when Jagannath Rathyatra was coming outside his house, because Bhaktivinoda Thakura was living on the grand road there, then the cart stopped and Jagannath wouldn't move for a long time, so his wife took the opportunity of presenting a newborn baby to Jagannath. So she went up and she placed him at the feet of Jagannath, and the garland fell off Jagannath onto the small baby. So everybody was saying, this is a very auspicious sign, something like a wonderful child will be here. Later on they did the anaprasana the same day. And they put some money and Bhagavatam and different things, and immediately grabbed the Srimad Bhagavatam. He went to the baby cradle and grabbed the Srimad Bhagavatam. It was indicating his greatness. When he was 3 or 4 years old, he ate a mango. And his father said, why are you taking that mango? That mango is for Krishna. You shouldn't eat anything before it's offered for Krishna. We have bought this for Krishna. So Maharaji chastised him. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakura said, yes, I am such a sinner. He said, he made a vow that I will never eat mangoes again. Which he maintained. He said, this is the worthy punishment for such a sinner. And Srila Prabhupada said, my Guru Maharaj, whenever he was offered mangoes, he would say, no, I cannot take mango. I am such a sinner. I cannot eat except mango. So he liked Tacha Am Chutney. Finally he took the chutney, mango chutney. But he didn't take the sweet dried mangoes the whole of his life. And he was a very, very brilliant student. He had a very big brain. You've seen pictures also, his head is at the back, it comes out, there's a big extra space there to accommodate more brain. He had a very big head from according to his body, especially when he was a child. He had a very big brain. And he was very, very sharp and intelligent, and he would always do excellent in his examinations. Uh, when they would study for homework, he would never do his homework. He would read Narottam Das Thakur's songs and poetry. He would relish that. But he always sat top mark in the class, even though he didn't study fully. And when he was 7 years old, he knew Bhagavad Gita. He could recite the whole Bhagavad Gita, and he could also preach. He could tell you the meaning of the slokas. He wasn't just a reciter, but he could actually explain his slokas. Right? He could sit very, very intently in front of Bhaktivinoda Thakur when he was preaching, completely absorbed in everything he was saying from such an early age. So he was invited in order Divine Grace of Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur. And he was a brilliant mathematician, logician, astronomer. In fact, he discovered a star that nobody had found before. They called it the Siddhanta star. And one day he was giving someone called for a debate. He was a very famous astronomer, and he had a great disciple who was also very expert, so he called for a debate with Bhaktisiddhanta and astronomy. And so the disciple and Bhaktisiddhanta were having their debate, but Bhaktisiddhanta so soundly defeated from every angle of vision that his guru was sitting there with his mouth open, that how his disciple was completely defeated after all he has taught him. And so the guru was so mortified he actually couldn't control his nature and had to run up and change his coping. So this is the power of Bhaktisiddhanta. He was such a powerful preacher, nobody would, not many people would dare to face him after that. No one would like to debate with him. Srila Prabhupada, he was like a walking encyclopedia. And like that, if you read the Brahma Samhita, it's very difficult. The purport, you've got to get, I'm supposed to be read English, but I've never understood many of these verses on the first page. I have to get a dictionary. And he was even asked one time, why do you write such a way and such, nobody uses these words anymore anyway. Practically obsolete. He said, I have to use these are the exact words that just convey exactly what I want to say, so therefore I have to use these words, even though they're not in proper use. He also started to study grammar, and he was so good. His teacher was, he said, you're such a brilliant student, he said, you should make this your life, you should study this grammar, and you should teach it, you'll be such a great teacher. Bhaktisiddhanta says, I'm studying this grammar simply secondly. He said, my sole ambition is simply to preach the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu everywhere. And I just take this up as a secondary activity. Not very important for him. So he was known as such a great scholar, sadhu. Everybody respected him. He was a Naishika Brahmachari from birth. He never had association with the opposite sex. And he met his Guru Maharaj here when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was living in Gokramadi. And Gokushala Das Bhakti Maharaj came from Vrindavan. He can wandering around there for about 30 years, then he had heard of the discovery of the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so he came to stay in Navadvipa. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, when I saw my Guru Maharaj, I saw him that the first time, I knew that there was no one could equal his standard of renunciation. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur instructed that he is your guru, you have to go and take initiation, don't come back until you get initiation. So he said, he kindly pointed out my guru to me. So he approached Gokushala Das And Gopisha said, you know, you're a great scholar, you're a great moralist, I'm actually literate. It wouldn't look good to have a guru like me, a literate guru, you know, such a great scholar. So he was pleading, he said, and Gopisha said, okay, I will ask Mahaprabhu and see what he says. If he gives me the order, I will initiate. So Pakistan was so pleased. Next day he went running. What did he say? And Gopisha said, oh, I forgot to ask him. So he was approached, and he said, just like Madhavacharya, he approached his spiritual master 16 times or something like that. He said, you're not going to deceive me and get away from me. So then again he approached him, and Gopisha said, I asked my Prabhu, but he did not give me the order. I cannot initiate. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said, you and your Prabhu, your Gauranga, he said, you both worship Krishna. Everybody knows he's the king of debauchees, he's a great debauchee. And you and your master, Gauranga, you worship this devotee. So why you should show mercy upon such a strict moralist like me? How can I be part of your group? I'm known as a very, very strict moralist. You're known as worshippers of a devotee. So why should you initiate me, and why should you take me in your association? But if you don't, then Karuna Nohagi Kadiya Kandiya Na Pranara Kivovara. If you don't maintain me, I cannot maintain my life. I will give up my life immediately. And if you fell down, and if you're sobbing at the feet of Gopisha, Gopisha was so moved, okay, take your bath in the Saraswati, I will initiate you immediately. So at the very time he took bath and he came back and he was initiated, and he gave him the name to Vashabhanavi. So then he became initiated with Gopisha. That's Babaji Maharaj. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, I've had many opportunities in my life of meeting many aristocratic people. And he was the very aristocratic people. He was, at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's friends were Bank Roy, famous poet. Tagore was all around at that time. Chandra the Bolsha Priest. Little big personalities in Bengali, very, very famous personalities. And plus he was connected with the British Raj, because Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a judge, so he was in with the British Raj. And the King of Tripura also, he would go and save the King of Tripura. So he said, I've had the opportunity to know many aristocratic, distinguished people. He said, but none of them, I could actually feel that they were pretty enough to, they all had so many defects. He said, but when I saw my spiritual master, Gopisha, he said, he and I understood that only a Vaishnava can live in this world and be exemplary. No one else can be exemplary. And he had association of kings and things like that. So he said, my Guru Maharaj, when I met him, he didn't see what everybody else sees. He didn't see my great learning. He didn't see my great scholarship. He didn't see my great morality. These were all things that everybody recognized in me, and I was identifying myself with these things, that I am that. And I'm the greatest debater at the time, practically, in this area. Nobody could debate, and I used to take great pleasure in debating and defeating everyone. This was my identity. I was this personality. He said, my grandma didn't look at me. He didn't see them. He was just looking at me. He didn't see what I thought. And he said, give up your knowledge. Give up your morality. Give up your knowledge. Just say that we are. And it's very much so-called illiterate, but he told him to give up all his so-called material good qualities, excellent qualities, people who can match Nastika Brahmacharya. What to speak of his scholarship or anything like that. So his Guru Maharaj was seeing that if we, as long as we identify even with these great qualities, that's not a good qualification. He's still under the influence of ahankara, his identity. And his Bhagavad Gita is completely smashed. He didn't even notice me. Everywhere I go, people know that very certain. When I met him, he didn't even notice me for what I am. And then he said, give up those, whatever you think you are, give it up. And stay with me. And so very, very nice instructions. He had many debates, as the famous debate in Midianipur, when all the with the all the brahmanas and the caste swamis anyway, he had a great debate with those and established how Vaishnavism is about brahmana even. So it was a very successful meeting, and everybody was ecstatic except the smarter brahmanas and the caste swamis and everything like that. Because they were completely defeated, but everyone else was ecstatic. At last, they established the position of a Vaishnava, made it very clear the position of a Vaishnava. He even is above the Brahmana, he's above the caste seminal identification. And there was a great roar, and the police had to escort him away because there was thousands of people that all wanted to come and touch his feet. And so they locked him in the house, but all the devotees and the pilgrims, they're all, we want to see the sadhu, we want the sadhu. The police said, they all want to see you, but we can't let you out. He said, because there's like a big mob there. They want to take touch your feet, so just go out and let them touch your feet or pacify them. Because Bhaktisiddhanta always would say, that's all to me, I'm your servant. He would never let anyone touch his feet, practically. But now thousands and thousands of people all ask for the dust of his lotus feet. He said, no, I can't go out, it's not possible. So then the police, they got a big knocker, big one of those big buckets. They filled it up with water and they grabbed him and they dunked his feet in the water. And then they took the knocker outside and everyone went crazy taking the Charanamrita and dust from his feet, and they all got pacified by it. There are a few people angry still. And then after some time, there's a lot of people banging on the door, and the disciples said, no, you can't come in. They said, no, we're not the angry group. We come to take shelter, so to speak. But also many hunters also wanted to take complete shelter, so to speak, at that time. There was another famous, not a big fate, but he would always challenge he's an upper sampradaya with a bogus mantra. And he was very popular in Puri, he's still quite popular. And he had a great following at that time. And he was also a devotee of Ranga Mahaprabhu. He used to go and listen to Bhaktivinoda Thakur give lectures, but then somehow or another he formed his own group made up a bogus mantra. And so he was always under attack from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And he used to get so heated, he got so heated there that the whole of Puri was, there was these two sides going on, and he was causing so much trouble there. The Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you better leave. You're causing too much turmoil here in Puri, the whole town is. So he left and he went to, he said, come stay in Mayapur and develop Mayapur. So then he came to Mayapur and he began to develop Mayapur. And he stayed in the grass hut at the Jokshik for about 5 years, and he stayed in Vajrapatnam, that's the Chaitanya Mat, known as Vajrapatnam, or the village of Raj. He stayed there. And there he did a very strict vow of chanting 1 billion names. It means 3 lakhs a day, like Haridas Thakur, for about almost 10 years. And he actually completed that vow. He was living like an avadhuta that way. He had long magic hair. Strictly he followed Jatamasha and put the rice on the ground and put your hands behind your back and you go down one time and you eat like a cow. When you come back, that's it. You don't go down again to the next day. So he's following these very, very strict vows. They're very austere vows. And his first disciple was he was also a son of a judge. He had heard about Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati. So he came to see him and he took some instruction from him. And then he went back home. The next day he came back again. He said, I want to take initiation from you. He said, last night when I went back home, he said, I had a dream. I had the Kula Guru, or the village gurus, who were in the village, and they preached to my family, and they put their bogus. After hearing you speak, and I can understand that they're Sahajiya groups. And anyway, last night when I went to sleep, he said, I saw my guru and his wife in my dream. And then they turned into a tiger and a tigress. And they started to approach me, to eat me. He said, I was very, very frightened. And then suddenly you appeared in my dream. Hey! And you chased away their tigers and tigress. He said, now I can understand. He said, what you're saying is true. So I come to take shelter at your lotus feet. So he gave him initiation. And then he started to give initiations. In 1971, the flood was coming in. It was coming. The Ganga was coming up, and then you've got the embankment there where the road is. So the water was coming right up, but it wasn't coming in the land. And the Chittananda was living here in the Bhajanapati. So he wrote to Prabhupada and he said the floodwater Ganga is flooding, but due to the road built by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, because he had this road constructed. Due to this road, he said our property has been saved, it didn't get flooded. Then Prabhupada wrote a letter back and said, yes, he said the path of Bhaktisiddhanta is saving millions and millions of people. So this road, it's called Bhaktisiddhanta Road. It was actually constructed under the supervision of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in one day. And that was when the British Raj was, the governor of Bengal was Sir John Anderson. So he managed to get him to come here. At that time it was all jungles. There was no roads here practically. Little footpaths, and it was isolated. The river's each side. Little Muslim village. So he was so influential, he got the British Raj to come here. And so then he gathered all the local people. The British Raj is coming, he's practically as good as the king, the emperor, the king. He's representing the emperor here. We have to go to reception, we have to make a nice road for him. So in this way, by preaching techniques, he got a road established all the way from the Bulagat all the way up to the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Anyway, they just made a mud road and they covered it with banana leaves and things like that. So they had a by preaching techniques, he got a free road, made Mayapur a bit more accessible. And then also, he, along with Bhakti Mataka, they pushed the government to open a post office there. And that post office is called Sri Mayapur Post Office. So that was a big step. Because in Navadvip, they're claiming that is the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That is the original Mayapur. But here now, officially, according to the government, this is Sri Mayapur Post Office. They got it established here. He was walking on the road with disciples one time. This is told by Damodar Maharaj, one of his disciples, Prabhupada's godbrother. He used to live here. And he said he was also walking with his guru. He was walking on the road. Then suddenly he stopped and he looked up and he said, "How degraded is age of Kali Yuga?" He said. He said, "Even on Chandraloka, they are becoming so degraded." And Damodar Maharaj said, "Then I could understand what is the meaning of Jagat Guru." He said he knew what was going on in the Chandraloka. Another time he was walking with disciples, and they come past the village from the, and all the village people used to go past in there in the morning, they would evacuate on the bank, on the embankment. The villages have their spots where they evacuate. I think usually it's to the west or south of the village. According to Shastri, the place today, everybody. Anyway, they had their place right on the embankment of the road. So Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati was taking a walk down the road with some of his disciples, and they came to this place, and that's now so his disciple was putting his cloth up on his nose like that. And Bhaktisiddhanta looked at him and said, "Oh yes, yeah, it's a pity you can't smell the sweet aroma of another big garden. You can only smell the coverings." Another time on this road, he left the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It was like it's midnight, and he left one of his disciples, Bharati Maharaj, used to have a roof of Rupa Sanatana Gaudiya Math, right on Hulagan there. Brahmachari at that time, Bharati Maharaj. Anyway, he was a Brahmachari. So he saw his Guru Maharaj going out, 12 o'clock at night, where are you going to go in? So he starts to follow him. Then he goes, "Who's that following you?" "It's your disciple, Bharati Brahmachari." "Okay, come on." So they're walking down the road, they come to, like, by Madhav Maharaj. This is a big banyan tree still there. Then there's a kirtan party coming up the other way. The middle of the night, there's no boats running or anything like that. It's a dead end road. Anyway, there's a big kirtan party coming up. And they come close together and Bhaktisiddhanta is there and they're praising, they're rolling on the floor and crying and all ecstatic symptoms of dying, a big mild kirtan going on. And after some time they compose themselves and kirtan goes on its way. And then Bhaktisiddhanta says to his disciple, he said, "His kirtan party came down from Swetadweep, came to take darshan at the Jagpith." So he was able to witness that. Also they had I think it was at that time when Sir John Anderson came. And he said you should make the prasadam He said, but there'd be a lot of meat eaters there. You have to make, have to cater for the meat eaters also. I said, how are we going to do that? Well, you can get some Brahmins from Navadvip, you know, the Kali Brahmins who are used to cooking meat and things like that. In the special place, and if they want to eat meat, they have to serve them. That is right. So, anyway, they made the arrangements. And then the disciples were completely confused, saying, what to do? And there was a lot left over. They said, what should we do with it? We can't bury it. And the Dharma is so, we can't throw it in the Ganga because the Ganga is so sacred. Anyway, they approached Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and they said, you know, we just can't understand, you know, what just happened. We have to put up right in the place of Chandrasekhara's Bhavan, they have the place of Chandrasekhara's house, right on that site. They have to cook up meat in that place. We're confused, you please explain to us. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura said, yes, he said, I used to think like that 100 years ago. He said, but when I started my mission, I promised Lord Chaitanya, whatever it takes to establish your mission, that I will do. There will nothing be in the way that impedes your mission. He said, there's nothing I wouldn't do to expand your mission. Yeah. He said, otherwise I was thinking like you were thinking 100 births, but he made that vow to Lord Chaitanya. So this is the dynamic nature of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura. Let me put this line here. nine digas of land from the lotus building to the temple. And we bought from two Muslims. Was it Fakir Sheikh and Chaku Malik or something like that? Anyway, they were very helpful, very nice. And he was telling us this Chaku Sheikh. He said, I knew Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura because I'm from Mayapur village, where there were some small kids at that time. And he said, we'll be playing in the village and the village life is going on and ladies were down by the waterhole washing their floor, doing whatever they're doing. We were just playing around and other people doing other things. He said, and people would stop, you know, the ladies would stop doing their washing. And people would stop their activities and then we would, what's happening, you know? Then we would start stopping our play. And then we would see that all, everyone's attention, it went to the house where Bhaktisiddhanta was. And he would come out and he'd just standing on the porch. And he said, then we would all stop. And he said, everybody, the whole village friends would just stop. Simply by his presence, he's just standing on the porch and his presence is just so magnetic that he just attracted everyone's attention. The whole village life stopped. He said, and we were just drawn to him. He said, he was such a person. And then he would come out and he would rub our heads and he would give us sweets, the kids sweets sometimes and things like that. When they were building the doctor, then the labourers, they wanted a bidi break. We didn't see the cigarette they had in India. And some people thought, don't smoke weed, like we have no smoking everywhere. They don't smoke weed. So, no, they wanted bidi money. Bidi was about 2 paise or something like that, wasn't it? DD break, so they kept a DD break in two. So Bhaktisiddhanta would say, continue working, I'll roll the DD, so you don't waste any time. Which is very important that you build the temple. I'll roll the beaded so that we can smoke it. At the end of the Vrata, he was born for almost 10 years. He writes in he was at the Jogdi, at the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, there I saw the Panchatattva coming from the eastern direction. The Panchatattva coming with the Kirtan, and all the devotees were there, everyone was there. All the Goswamis and everyone, even his own guru was there. And Bhakti Thakur was there. The whole parampara was there. Come in the Nagasankirtan. And they approached him and they said, now you should give up all these austerities, all these vows. They said, you should go out and preach. It should be, your mission is to preach the message of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. So they said, we're all behind you. You don't have to worry about anything. When you want manpower, we have unlimited resources waiting for you. If you need money, we have so much waiting to give you. You need understanding and knowledge, we are ready to, we have unlimited stocks to empower you with. Just don't worry about anything like this for your maintenance or anything. Just go out and preach fearlessly. We're all behind you and we'll supply you with everything that you need. So then he said, if I have to go and preach, I should go where the people are. Of course, his guru Maharaj told him never go to Calcutta. He called it Kali, it's the realm of Kali. Never go to Calcutta. But he thought, if I have to preach, I have to go where the people are. So then he took sannyas. He took sannyas from a picture of his guru Maharaj. And then he went to start his preaching mission in Calcutta. Of course, wherever the preaching mission is going on, that place, the glorification of the Lord is going on, that place is no different than Vrindavan. So in this way, he never went to Calcutta because he just went there for preaching. He transformed everything. So he didn't disobey the order of the Guru. In fact, his Guru told him to go out. He had to preach. So then he started his mission. He had a serious systematic preaching. There was one sadhu came to see Gokishada Sabaji Maharaj. He was living that time in Puriya, in Nabadi. And he said, I just went to see my poor Dham to meet your disciple. He said he's a bit too much into the rules and regulations, too much of a Vaikuntha mood. I'm more into Raghunuga Bhakti, like you, Guru, like you, Maharaj, right? I want to follow your path. I want to stay with you and take shelter. I don't think I will go to Bhakti Siddhanta again. He's too much like Vaikuntha man for me. I will stay with you and serve you. And Gokishada Bhakti Maharaj said, yeah, you're right, he is a Vaikuntha man. He said, he also has a place in Vaikuntha, in Mayapur. He said, I also have a place in Mayapur. He said, I'm here also there. He said, but people like you will never be able to understand this thing. He said, you dare to criticize Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati and Bhakti Maharaj Thakur performing pure devotional service at the birthplace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You dare to criticize, and you will never understand what the advice was. And sure enough, a little while later, that person fell down. He said he became a seller of coconut oil and used to often massage the managers whom he sold the oil to, coconut oil. This was his fate. Criticizing through the Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. And there was another Sabbath. He used to drink water from a skull. He said, I'm even more renounced than your burn, my Gokusha. I can drink water from a skull. It's heavy testimony, but I'd like to do it on this record. It's simply imitation. So, see, Chaitanya Math, then you have Radhakund, then Shamukund, and Govardhan is also there. So I asked one of his disciples, Damodar Maharaj, how come you got this Radhakund and Shamukund here at the Chaitanya Math? Because in another Dal Mahatmya we find that Radhakund is in Rishabhi, and Govardhan is in the Kolodvip. So how come you're guilty? And he said, because this is the place where my Guru Maharaj did his bhajan. He sat here for 10 years and did his bhajan. He said, so this is his bhajana stan. He says he has an eternal place for bhajan also at Radhakund, on the banks of Govardhan. And because he was so intently absorbed in his bhajan sang manifested here. But was my voice not different than that? He said it actually, when he was doing his bhajan, the sun manifested. And he said, he told us. He said, I can see me Radhakund. And you can see? And the disciples said, we can't see Guru Maharaj. Yeah, Govardhan is here, you can't see. They said, can we build it? Can we excavate the ponds and can we build the Govardhan so we can see? He said, you can also do that. But he was actually witnessing that. He was actually on the banks of Radhakund and Shamakund and Govardhan. And Gokushada Patri Maharaj is also, his samadhi is also there at the bank. Originally, the samadhi was in Navadvip. Gokushabha, that's what he was saying, Rani Dharamshala, the area there. He was performing bhajan. That was the main place in those years, all the mahantas and the sadhus were staying in Navadvip side. And so then he left his body there. So then Bhaktisiddhanta got news. So he immediately went over there. Described, he put on a green chadar. Green is, according to the Alankrita Shastra, the Shastras that deal with decorations, green is the color of separation, it's the Buddha of separation. So he had a green chadar on, and he went over to the Navadvip. And there a big argument was going on, a big debate, that who will give the so the body of Gokushab, that's why it's remembered as samadhi. And so some people thought if we make a samadhi, we can make a nice living because these are very famous sadhu people who come and throw some paisa. So there was an argument going on amongst the Babaji's there. Who would actually give the samadhi? Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur arrived there. And he said, I am the only disciple of Srila Gokushada Sabdi Maharaj, therefore I will claim the rights to put him into samadhi. And then they were all protesting. You're not even a sannyasi. You're not in a renounced order of life. And he was just like Brahmacharya. Only a renounced person should touch the body of such another renounced person. So you're not actually in a renounced order of life, so therefore you can't. Then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, voice as brave as thunder, he said, I may not be in a renounced order of dress. He said, but I can say to you that I've never done any of this monkey business, jumping from one to another like the monkeys. I've been celibate all my life. He says, so I'm saying to you that if any person who has no illicit connection with a woman in the last year, you can come and touch the body. You can claim the rights. But in the last 6 months, 3 months, within the last week, within the last 3 days, and all about you, they all turned their backs and started mumbling. And the police, the chief of the police, said, because of the PDR. He said, how do you know if that's true? No, I don't accept. He said, if this is true, if you can follow this, he said, then you can touch. Otherwise, he said, you will be finished. He was speaking so powerfully with everybody. So nobody could come forward and claim the body. So he said to his disciples, let's take the body. So they took the body. And another to that, they developed. But Babaji Maharaj, he said that we should drag his body through the streets of Navadvi when he leaves, so he can get the dust. It was his last request. But he said, I said, no. He said, you do not know the humility of my Lord Maharaj. He says, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we picked up Haridas and danced with Haridas. He said, this is how we will deal. We will put him on our head. We will carry him on our heads. So, after some time, that samadhi, the Ganga started to eat the bank away. He started to eat the samadhi away. So again, there was a lot of people there. They wanted to get that samadhi and relocated. So again, Bhakti Siddhanta came with the sending disciples and they managed to collect that. Samadhi ran, then they brought it back to the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and they established and made a nice temple for him. So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that, he said, actually there were many offenses committed at my Guru Maharaj's Samadhi in Navadvip. He said he desired not to stay there anymore. And therefore, by arrangement, the Ganga came and washed away. He said, now he is situated on the banks of Radhakund, that is his eternal place. This was his desire. So he wanted to change the location. Some offenses were being made there. So finally he came. So now he's also on the bank of Radhakund. Yes, great personalities we are dealing with. But these are direct personalities being sent by Krishna. So, in the Prabhupada also the same. He said that when Krishna asked me to come here. So these are the wonderful personalities we have. Guiding our sampradaya, still guiding our sampradaya. The Prabhupada says in the Krishna book that the activities of the International Society of Krishna Consciousness are going on, are being conducted under the supervision of Rupa Goswami, still.
About how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that he made a vow to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he would do whatever was required, nothing would impede his establishing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And therefore this example of getting, cooking the meat. So, no doubt, I have absolutely no doubt, no question, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur is perfectly acting. But now, what about us? We can use that as a rationale for so many things. I'm selling paintings, I'm doing this, we saw what happened to our Sankirtan mission. We can do so many things. I wouldn't even mention sinful things. So how do we make sure that we're not, using the rationale, what's the measure?
Well, if you tell Lord Narayana that's your plan, then that means you just stand in front of him and told him. If you can talk to him directly, then I'm sure you could fulfill your desires to preach the mission. So if anybody can personally approach Lord Chaitanya, he's qualified, I think, to perform these activities. Okay. How many disciples did he have? I heard one time about 30,000.
You mentioned that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was encouraged to study grammar because he was so good. But he replied that his only purpose was to spread the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya, and that that was just the secondary activity he was doing. So my question is, why would a devotee do secondary activities like that? What's the purpose?
No, he did it for a living. He had to maintain himself. As a young man, he had to maintain himself. So he was doing it as a living. Then he went to Tripura. The king of Tripura had him put all of his all of the books and everything in order. He's such a great. For a long time, he said. They say he had to make a living. So he's making a living by his grammar and things like that, and studying and teaching others. Then he worked with the king and established, put all his books in order and everything. He uncovered many discrepancies from the different employees there. And the king was so pleased with him. And then when he left, the king said, I'll continue your pay anyway. Your pension, I'll continue. So he continued still paying him. Even when he wasn't there, then until Bhakti Siddhanta told him to stop. No, he gets rid of him, yes. The significance of his name, Sivasha Panapitai Kutta. That's the name of Srimati Radharani. Apparently he revealed to his disciples, some of his disciples, that he was one of the eternal maid servants of Srimati Radharani. His name was given as Nayana Manjari. And he gave him that name because sometimes he would say, if you see Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is coming, you say, oh, here comes the Manjari. This means Srimati Radharani must be around somewhere. This is a name for his eternal service. Yes, lucky Siddhanta Maharaj praying for Govardhan Shilas from Govardhan Hill, for the Govardhan Hill of Chaitanya Maharaj. Yes, they bought some. I had two versions. They actually bought the hill, everything from Govardhan, and some. Another time they said it's called some rocks. But anyway, on the top you see there is a little box, I guess, the glass on it. The Govardhan Shila is there, a small Govardhan Shila with a little face on it. But I've heard two versions. They bought the rocks there and they built it. But that doesn't look really the same stone as Govardhan. Some is over there, maybe everything. I have good versions. This deity is Radhadanda Vigiridhari in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is his favorite deity. And when he built that mark, he went to get deities in Jaipur, where they make marble deities. So he went with some of the disciples and they went into one shop, and then the shopman said, "This is your deity here." He said, "How do you know I want a deity? How do you know that's my deity?" He said, "Last night, this deity appeared in my dream, right, Dr. Chen?" And they said, "Tomorrow when Mahapurusha will come, we're going to accept his service." He said, "When I see you, I can see you are that Mahapurusha. Please take this Radhakanda Vidhidhari." So he actually donated those deities to Bhakti Siddhanta. Kanda Vidhidhari. Thank you.